argued and it's submitted. Next matter on the file, on the calendar is Steinbeck versus Commissioner of Department of Human Services.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
I see one person's.
No.
No, okay.
Pretend I can show up and argue it, but.
It's always good to watch good oral advocates, right?
Yes.
So the next case is Steinbeck versus Commissioner of Department of Human Services and McLeod County Social Services. It's A18-1949. I see both attorneys are here. When you begin your arguments, please state your name for the record. And you'll each have 15 minutes, 5 minutes for rebuttal. The podium goes up and down if you need to adjust the height. And are you ready?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. You may begin.
Good morning. Appellant is asking the court to reverse the commissioner's decision based on the fact that the agency acted in an arbitrary and capricious manner in finding maltreatment and abuse by neglect because the appellant's manner of administrating his mother's thyroid medication was, in all actuality, de minimis conduct that did not rise to the level of the statutory definition of maltreatment by neglect or abuse. Secondly, the appellant's conduct clearly falls within the therapeutic conduct and good faith exception. The district court's finding that the appellant's behavior was not therapeutic was an error because there's substantial evidence in the record that the appellant was providing good faith therapeutic conduct to his mother.
So I'm glad you're focusing on the thyroid issue because although it seems like the initial charges, if you will, were very, very broad.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, it came down to the thyroid medication. And I have a question for you. I'm looking at page 26 of your brief.
Okay. Do you mind if I grab it?
No, please do. And then I'm going to flip back to addendum page 33 for some of the findings. So in it, you talk about how really we're looking at post-March 2016, which is when he, according to you, stepped in to make sure she got her medicine, and then it wasn't determined until after he started giving her medication. The dose was too low, and then once he gave her the higher dose as prescribed, and so he was the one who stepped in to take care of that.
That's correct, Your Honor.
So I'm looking at that and putting it next to the findings of fact, specifically paragraphs 22 and 23 on page A33.
Okay.
And in that, the agency's exhibit 3, I'm reading paragraph 23,
okay,
includes records of the interview with appellant on December 19, 2016. So that's after the March 2016 timeframe where you say he stepped in to start making sure she got her thyroid medication, in which he stated he had stopped giving Ms. Steinbeck her thyroid medication and was giving her kelp for rash. So I'm trying to square that with your argument in your brief.
Yes, Your Honor. Mr. Steinbeck had stopped for a period of time because his mother was actually refusing to take her medication. And he had found a way to give her the medication to where it was acceptable to her and she would take it. He was also giving her kelp for a rash, Your Honor, but it was a brief period, and Mr. Steinbeck admittedly said that, when he was asked questions, he maybe didn't articulate them as he should have. But he stopped for a period, it was a very brief period of time because his mother was refusing to take the thyroid medicine, and then he found a way to give it to her, which is how we've described in the brief, Your Honor.
Isn't thyroid medication one of those medications that requires some kind of regular check to see whether the amount needs to be adjusted? And it's not just, here's a pill. And by his doing it on his own without consulting with anyone else, didn't he really interfere with the process of figuring out what's the appropriate dosage?
Well, not really, Your Honor. With all due respect, and I'm just saying based on, you know, our briefings here, she was regularly checked, and there were medical records that were provided at the trial.
The records didn't show that he had, on his own, without consulting anybody, just changed the dosage, did he?
Well, what I was getting at, Your Honor, is that there were medical records that were provided that were showing that the dose was not too low or messed up on any through any fault of Mr. Steinbach, but what was prescribed, the dosage was prescribed incorrectly originally, okay? And so, no, Mr. Steinbach.
As I said, I'm not a pharmacologist, but it's my understanding that thyroid is one of those medications that there isn't a clear misstatement as to the prescription initially, because it's always being adjusted, and it needs to be adjusted. You mm-hmm. get the feedback, and then you adjust it again and see if it's working. It's sort of, we only know if it's the right prescription if it worked.
That's correct, and it did work. What Mr. Steinbach was doing did work, and the medical records reflect that. That after he began taking care of his mother and he had began administering the medications, that her levels actually got better.
Well, can I just ask you, though, because you seem to start everything from March of 2016, and, mm-hmm. and I think your whole theory was that when he got involved in March of 2016, that he was able to get those medications to her. And please correct me if I'm misstating what your position is.
Okay.
And that he was able to get them increased over time with the doctors. Is that a fair statement of your position?
That is correct. And if I could just go back just a little bit further, Your Honor, just to put everything in context, prior to Mr. Steinbach coming on board and taking over the health care, her daughters were caring for her, and they were having difficulty getting her to take her medication because she was refusing.
All right. But I want to go then to the finding 14
Is that addendum 33, paragraph?
Let me just look and see what okay. the document is. It's the decision of the state agency on appeal.
So A11.
So it's A11.
A11.
In the brief.
Paragraph, I'm sorry, Your Honor.
And it's 14.
Okay.
And I know that that's your theory of what was going on, mm-hmm. but the agency actually found that he stopped her thyroid medications, apparently, and he, you know, on his own, in December of 2016.
I'm sorry.
Doesn't that run counter to your theory that he was able to get her to take them when he actually unilaterally stopped the medications?
Well, Your Honor, it's my understanding that she refused to take them.
Well, that's not what it says there.
And
I'm
sorry, Your Honor.
I mean, I thought your theory was that she was not taking them before March of 2016 and he got her to mm-hmm. take them. And then after that, everything went smoothly. But finding 14 does not seem to fit that scenario.
Well, finding 14, Your Honor, is a determination made by the agency, which may right. not necessarily be based in fact. It is their determination. But our position is a fact that she stopped taking it, she wasn't taking it, and when Mr. Steinbach got on board, he was able to get her to begin to take her medication again.
When on board? When did this on board start?
Your Honor, it was in some time of March. Oh, I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Well, finding 14 again indicates
after March 2016.
Except that them. Finding 16, which is on the next page, A12.
Let me get back to that.
Says that when she was visiting her mom. This is from Betty Schoenfeld, one of the sisters or daughters. She saw your client reducing their mother's thyroid medication by pinching off a corner, so mm-hmm. that was in the summer. And then Ms. Schoenfeld reported appellant told her he believed that Ms. Steinbeck was too sensitive to increases and he wanted to increase to be limited to 1 milligram or something. Ms. Schoenfeld reported that she knew that the appellant reduced Ms. Steinbeck's thyroid medication throughout late August or mid-September 2016. And so that goes to the finding that your client's not medically trained. And so, and without consultation with doctors, he's unilaterally deciding to reduce her thyroid medication.
In August and September of 2016.
Right, which would have been after the March 2016. And we're not denying that he didn't, you know, that he didn't pinch off the medication, Your Honor. We're not saying that. What we're saying is that the care that he provided falls within the therapeutic conduct exception.
And it's therapeutic because he decided, or a doctor told him it was therapeutic, or?
Well.
How can he?
The finding simply says that he believed that she was too sensitive to increases.
Well, that's based on Ms. Schofield's interpretation or speculation.
Well, it's based on what he told her.
And that's purportedly what he told her, Your Honor. She's just giving a report, is what I'm saying.
He doesn't deny that he was pinching pieces off, so it's consistent with what he said himself.
He does not in any way deny that he was pinching off anything. That is correct, Your Honor. That is absolutely correct. With regard to...
Did your client offer any testimony about his understanding on how the thyroid medication works?
He did actually offer some testimony, Your Honor.
And where is that?
During that mini trial.
Did he testify that he knew that you have to reach a therapeutic level and then maintain it over a period of time? So it's not a kind of pill that you can take on and off. You have to maintain a therapeutic level through regular.
He didn't testify direct, you know, in that specific articulation, as you, Your Honor, but he did testify that he knew she was supposed to be taking it, but she was refusing to take it, and he had found a way to get her to take the medication.
I'm getting at whether or not he testified how he reached his therapeutic understanding.
He did. He testified about how what her levels were before and what they were after he began administering it to her. And based on that...
And when he began administering it to her, that was on a prescription basis, right?
You mean he had...
That was the prescription that he was given. That's what he was giving her.
He was giving her that prescription, correct.
Except
but pinching...
But then he decides he wants to pinch pieces off because he wants to get it down to 1 milligram. That's what 16 suggests.
Well, his testimony was that he was administering it to her in a way that she was accepting it and taking it, and he got her to the level to where she met the requirements, and that the levels, her levels increased and got better after he administered the medication to her in his way.
I'm wondering how this, where he got this medical knowledge. I'm looking at paragraph 18 now, A12.
A12?
Yep. Appellant reported to Ms. May that he adjusted Ms. Steinbeck's thyroid medication because she was allergic to Benadryl.
There was a lot of talk about Benadryl because at one point, Your Honor, his mother, Ms. Steinbeck, had high levels of Benadryl, and it was causing some problem with her levels. He had an independent
test done.
But yeah.
I'm curious about how he reached a medical conclusion that thyroid medication should be adjusted because she was allergic to Benadryl.
Well, he talks about seeking other remedies or whatever, and that's how he got the kelp and whatever he was giving her for the rash, Your Honor. So that was discussed also with whomever suggested this homeopathic remedy.
Was the rash supposedly an allergic reaction of some kind?
Yes, Your Honor.
Would you use Benadryl?
Well, but the Benadryl was affecting other things and causing her levels to get, yeah. So.
Any explanation as to why he didn't consult medical personnel as to what he was doing and whether it was appropriate to do that?
He didn't have an explanation as to why, you know, he didn't say, well, I went to the doctor and asked to do this. No, he did not. He just knew from what he was doing, she was getting better. She was having problems with her legs. She was having problems not being able to walk. But when he began administering it this way, she got better.
Better after he's administering this, why would he then cut back?
No, the cutting back was what was causing her to get better. How he was administering the medication was...
She's getting better in late 2016?
Yes, after Mr. Steinbeck began administering the medications, Your Honor, his mother got better. Her legs weren't hurting. She was able to move around better. Her medical records show that all of her levels were much better.
Well, could I want to go to A35 of the addendum, because this is the conclusions of law reached by the district court.
Mm-hmm.
And the district court in paragraph 9
mm-hmm.
says, the record is quite clear that a number of physicians expressed concern about Mrs. Steinbach. Consistently receiving adequate and appropriate medication for a thyroid disorder, and that appellant himself was in fact present for some of those medical appointments and discussions. The record is quite clear. He unilaterally chose to alter her altered medications without her physician's knowledge and against her physician's treatment directives. In doing so, he chose to engage in a course of conduct which constituted neglect, as it is a course of conduct that failed to supply Ms. Steinbach with the care that was reasonable and necessary to maintain her physical health or safety. And I mean, if you look at the record, it seems like these doctors were always raising the issue of that she wasn't getting enough thyroid medication or that she wasn't getting the medication.
Well, Your Honor, red light is flashing, but may I respond? Okay. I don't believe that that's accurate, Your Honor. I read right along with you, but nowhere in my review of the medical records were these doctors concerned about the thyroid medication or saying that there was a problem. No one was concerned about the thyroid medication, you know, like making it an issue. Yes, they knew at what level she was receiving it. We're not denying that. But no doctor in any record said this is a problem because Mr. Steinbeck is pinching off her medication. There is nothing in the medical records to reflect that. This did not become a problem until Ms. Schofield and her sister reported this to the agency, who then became involved and started investigating this. I don't recall anywhere in the medical record seeing where multiple doctors were making statements about them being concerned about the level of her thyroid medication, Your Honor.
Well, they were concerned about her THS levels.
That is correct. That is correct.
Yeah.
And
you'll have 5 minutes in rebuttal.
Thank you.
Counsel?
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the court. My name is Zach Lingus, and I'm an assistant McLeod County attorney, and I'm representing McLeod County Social Services in this case. I'd like to start with one thing that Respondent's Counsel just mentioned, and that's that no doctors were concerned about Ms. Stefana Steinbeck, the vulnerable adult in this case, getting the amount of thyroid medication that she was supposed to. I was the attorney that handled the initial case in front of Human Services Judge Hall and reviewed the medical records that were submitted to Judge Hall. And I actually cross-examined Mr. Steinbach about him taking his mother into a Dr. James Curry. And I believe that is listed in the appendix, my cross-examination of Mr. Steinbach, at least on A41. And Dr. Curry, and I believe it was in reference to Mr. Steinbach being concerned about his mother receiving too much Benadryl, and had a conversation with Dr. Curry about that. And Dr. Curry said that in his medical notes that were submitted to Human Services Judge Hall, that well, perhaps the symptoms could be explained by getting too much Benadryl, it was more likely that her symptoms were caused by being on way too low of a dose of thyroid medication. Now, clearly, Dr. Curry didn't know that Mr. Steinbach was altering his mother's thyroid medication. That would be, I'm certain, would raise a lot more red flags for a doctor than just the question, well, is it Benadryl or thyroid medication that's causing these issues?
What clinic was this doctor at? Was this at the Lakeview clinic?
I believe it was at the Lakeview, Your Honor.
Because it's referred to in conclusion 24, it's finding of fact 24, that there was a concern that the medication was way too low.
Thank you, Your Honor, and I believe that is correct. Yes.
Correct, okay.
And that was the, and I don't know if the court had an opportunity to review the medical records as part of the exhibits. They were pretty voluminous. But that was HSJ Hall's findings. Now, I'd like to spend most of my time on the therapeutic conduct exception in this case because I think it's the most interesting question presented to the court here. Now, I'll start by saying that wasn't raised by Mr. Steinbach at the hearing in front of Human Services Judge Hall. It was, and I don't believe, based on the brief, I wasn't the attorney that handled the appeal to the district court, Judge Maher, but I don't believe it was argued by Mr. Steinbach in front of Judge Maher either. I think she addressed it because she wanted to make a record of it, and it seemed like that was where Mr. Steinbach was going, even though he didn't specifically say that. Now, first, because generally, if an issue isn't waived at least the hearing level, this court won't
address. If it is raised, you mean?
Yeah. I'm sorry, Your Honor. If it is raised, this court will address it. But if it's not raised, this court does not. Now, when it comes to administrative law decisions, this court gives no. What's the right word?
Deference,
thank you, to the district court. And so essentially this court is reviewing the decision of Human Services Judge Hall, even though Judge Maher the decision was appealed to her, and she did write a very thorough analysis of the facts of the case based on her review and the law involved. So I think even though this court doesn't have to give deference to Judge Maher's opinion, I think it is very helpful and does a good job explaining what the law is and the standard of review that she applied, even though this court isn't required to read it. But because this court gives no deference to Judge Maher's decision and the therapeutic conduct exception wasn't raised in front of HSJ Hall, he wasn't able to come to any conclusions of fact or law regarding that. So I think this court should find that is waived. But if the court wants to address it, I'm prepared to. So, Your Honors, our position is that the therapeutic conduct exception doesn't apply here. Now, for there to be a finding of...
It's kind of odd, though. I mean, can we just go back to that? Because it looks like... I'm trying to understand this, and maybe you can help me. If I look at paragraph 10 on A36... The judge says that the appellant has clearly not made a therapeutic conduct exception legal argument, and as such, Judge Hall was not obligated to make findings or draw conclusions as to the applicability of that exception. But then she goes on and says, however, that seemed to be what the appellant was implying in his answers on cross-examination. So therefore, I'm going to consider it. So I guess, you know, I guess I'm trying to understand. So the judge kind of considered if there'd been a waiver, but then decided no, there was no waiver, and then actually looked at the record to see if there was any evidence produced.
Correct,
Your Honor.
Is that
a fair statement of what occurred?
Absolutely. I think that's correct, and I think it's correct based on the transcript of oral argument in front of Judge Maher in the appellant's appeal to the district court. And even though it's not, I think the words she uses there are, this in this matter, appellant has not clearly made a therapeutic, but it seemed like that was the gist of what appellant was arguing. And I think in their brief, appellant says that Judge Maher raised this sua sponte. But at the end of the day, the therapeutic conduct exception shouldn't apply here. And I'll point the court to the statutes, even though I'm sure you have them in front of you already. So it would be
apply because it wasn't raised at the administrative level and therefore it's waived. That's your argument?
That's my first argument, Your Honor. But it also shouldn't apply even if the court is going to consider it. And the reason for that is because under the definition of neglect, the statute says neglect does not occur if, and then it lists a bunch of exceptions, and this is under 626.5572 subdivision 17, parent C, parent 4. And in that exception it says, and the gist of it is, that if it's not neglect, if an individual makes an error in the, doing any sort of treatment, if a caregiver makes an error. And pinching off Ms. Steinbach's pills is not an error. That was intentional conduct that took place over apparently substantial length of time, and it was difficult to get Mr. Steinbach to say when he had stopped altering his mother's thyroid medication. And he had been doing it from at least since he started in March 2016 onward, and very candidly admitted doing so on cross-examination, admitted it to his sister, Ms. Schofield, and admitted it to the investigator from McLeod County Social Services. So because this was intentional conduct, this wasn't a mistake, and I think the O'Boyle case, which is one of this court's decisions from 2002 that I think both parties cited, that was a case where an elderly woman, vulnerable adult, actually sort of like the vulnerable adult in this case, had fallen and had a head abrasion and had a couple of broken bones, I think three broken bones in her foot, and her mother or her adult daughter did not bring her into the hospital. And the Department of Human Services determined that that was neglect by not bringing her to the hospital. Well, she testified that, I looked at her foot, I thought it was just a sprain, and this court ended up reversing the decision. But the reason the court reversed was not because you found that it was therapeutic conduct, you found that she had raised the issue in front of the Human Services judge, and the Human Services judge simply didn't make findings on the issue. That's not the case here. This case is distinguishable because the issue wasn't raised at all. And admittedly, most of the focus during the testimony, and it was, I think, a day-long affair with multiple witnesses and multiple exhibits, including audio exhibits, where the thrust of the county's case was that Mr. Steinbach was keeping his mother separated from his siblings. And that's not what HSJ Hall found was the abuse or was the maltreatment, so it's not for this court to consider, but it wasn't, the thyroid medication issue wasn't the main thrust, I think, of either party's examination in this case. And further, I'll point the court as to the therapeutic conduct exception in subdivision 20 of 626.5572, the conduct needs to be done in good faith and in the interests of the vulnerable adult. And I address this in my brief. County's position is that there no person who receives a prescription medication and does not have medical training and is responsible for giving this medication to anyone, whether that's a child, an elderly adult that they're responsible of caring for, would think, well, I guess I'll just cut off an unknown amount of each of these pills, because despite the fact that I am not a doctor, I have no medical training, I think it's a good idea that we start slower, rather than leaving that decision up to Ms. Steinbach's medical professionals. And the doctor, like Dr. Curry here, who was treating her, who said that she is already on way too low of a dose of thyroid medication. So, Your Honors, this is maltreatment of a vulnerable adult by neglect. And there is substantial evidence supporting the agency's decision in this case. Mr. Steinbach admitted he did this multiple times. He admitted it to Ms. Schofield, his sister, who also saw him do it. He admitted it to Ms. May, the investigator from McLeod County Social Services. And he admitted that, again, very candidly, during cross-examination, that he did this and didn't measure how much he was taking off the pill, and at the end of the day didn't really know how much he had actually removed from each pill. But now that his mother was back on the right amount of thyroid medication, that she is doing much better and her levels are where they're supposed to be. So Mr. Steinbach did mistreat his mother, a vulnerable adult. And Your Honors, I think appellant had one more issue that I'll address briefly, and then that, at least in her brief, that, and that was that the agency's decision was arbitrary and capricious in this case. Our position is that this is not arbitrary and capricious. They had evidence, and it wasn't anything that was outside of the factors that the legislature has directed them, the agency, to consider. HSJ Hall heard all of the evidence in this case, and the agency's decisions, or administrative agency's decisions, have a presumption of correctness under Minnesota Supreme Court and this court's precedents. Even if this court were the fact finder and would perhaps have reached a different conclusion, as long as the agency engaged in reasoned decision making, had a reason for its decision based on the evidence in this case, and relied on and fit that evidence into factors that were outlined by the legislature, this court should affirm, even if it thinks perhaps that it may have reached a different conclusion at the end of the day were it the decision maker in the case. Your Honors, unless the court has any questions for me, I will waive the remainder of my time.
Thank you.
We ask that the court affirm the decision of Judge Maher and HSJ Hall. Thank you.
Actually, it's the agency that's the only thing that needs to be affirmed.
You're absolutely right, Your Honor, because this court gives no deference to Judge Maher.
Ms. Powell, any rebuttal?
Just briefly. I'll use the whole 5 minutes. Just briefly, Your Honor, I want to be clear, and we did state this in our brief, but I want to be clear here today that Ms. Steinbach was not taking her thyroid medicine from October 2004 to somewheres of March 2016. That was prior to Mr. Steinbach even coming into the picture. That significant amount of time of her deciding not to take her thyroid medication obviously had a medical effect on her body. So when Mr. Steinbach steps into the position of administering her medication,
it would have been in March of
2016. She was already in a deficit. She was already in a medical predicament at that time. At that time, when Mr. Steinbach steps in to administer medication to his mother, sometime in March of 2016, it is discovered, and the record shows, that the 50 milligrams or whatever that was prescribed to Ms. Stefana Steinbeck was too low a dose. Nothing created by Mr. Steinbeck, through no fault of Mr. Steinbeck, but prescribed in error by Stefana Steinbeck's doctor, okay? So if the 50 milligrams was prescribed was already too low, the pinching, no one is disputing that. We're not denying that, Your Honor. But I want to make it clear that Ms. Steinbeck's thyroid dosage was not too low because Mr. Steinbeck, the appellant, was pinching off anything.
He was making it lower then.
As prescribed. Correct. Correct, Your Honor. He was pinching it off, which made it.
So I don't understand it. It's too low, so he lowers it, and that's not neglect.
Because it falls within the therapeutic exception, which is our position. And it falls within that exception because personal care services done in good faith on behalf of a vulnerable adult fall into the therapeutic conduct.
That's good faith. If, in fact, he knows that she was not taking her medication and that her thyroid level was too low, and that the prescription, and then he then lowers the prescription some more to even lower it more, what is good faith about that?
Well, actually, Your Honor, he didn't lower it. He actually was increasing it because she hadn't been taking it from March of 2014. October of 2014 to March of 2016. So he actually was increasing it. So when he started, she was at zero.
Well, and she was at zero again when in December of 2016, right? According to the medical records.
And that's after he's been pinching pieces off.
Right, correct. Now, we're talking about two different time periods, Your Honor.
Well,
but that
we
is
are,
correct.
But,
yes.
But that's, again, my questioning of you, because you seem to say after March of 2016, everything was wonderful and he was doing everything. But we have a medical record, December of 2016, where she wasn't taking her thyroid medication, at least according to the medical record.
Okay. And so what I'm saying is, and to correct the record, I'm not saying immediately once he stepped on the scene that her levels evolved to perfect. That is not what I'm intending to describe to the court. It was a process. Absolutely, it was a process.
I know you weren't the lawyer who tried the case to the agency.
That is correct.
But when I read the decision of the agency, there is no discussion of mm-hmm. therapeutic conduct because it wasn't brought up at the agency.
By the other lawyer, correct. That is correct. But it was brought up by me.
To the judge,
correct.
District court judge.
Correct. That is correct. So, Your Honor, we believe that Mr. Steinbeck's conduct falls within the therapeutic conduct exception. We also believe that the agency acted arbitrarily and capriciously because they did not consider the substantial amount of evidence that was on the record to show that there was no maltreatment and that there was no neglect. We cannot close our eyes to the fact that Ms. Steinbeck testified herself that she was not mistreated or abused by Mr. Steinbeck, and then on top of that, that her personal daily caregiver also made the same testimony that there was no maltreatment or abuse of Ms. Steinbeck. Due to the fact that we feel that the therapeutic conduct exception applies, we are asking that the commissioner's decision be reversed.
Decision out within the 90 days, and thank you for your arguments. We are adjourned. We're going to go consider our non-oral cases now.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.